Growth is challenge. Growth is challenging. To a baby, they don't see or feel challenge. They're just growing. But there is challenge, right? You got to try to learn how to walk now. You got to try to learn how, get them legs under them. They go from crawling to, I seen this one video, one baby, he was literally pushing with his knees and literally almost dragging his face across the carpet. And that won't work in the long run. Having to learn how to make those adjustments to now have enough arm strength to hold himself up to crawl around on his arms and legs. And let me tell you what's interesting about that. When you watch a baby going through his phases and growing, the challenging parts of it. A baby will get down on his hands and knees and crawl around the floor all day and zoom around the room, and they'll learn to work and maneuver in that position. You listening? Eventually, they learn how to walk. And you're like, oh, yay, they took their first steps. Yay. Yay! Until they start reaching stuff and pulling stuff down. I just start rearranging your whole house because that victory is coming down with a new challenge. They can touch and break stuff that they're not supposed to touch and break. So I was thinking about that. Every phase of our growth requires other changes, other disciplines, other things that have to happen. But I want you to think about something. Baby went from crawling to walking. You're on here grown. I dare any one of you now to get down on your hands and knees and maneuver around your house all day like that. You probably wouldn't even last 10 minutes. You follow what I'm saying? Because that you left that phase. So your upper body and your arms are not strong enough. You probably, if you can't do like put that baby, if he was taught to, probably could get down on the floor and give you 20 push-ups because they are in this position all day. But now they've been standing on their feet and those muscles have not been utilized. So that you can't take a child and say, now crawl around like that all day, and it still works for them. Where am I going? Think about it. You know me. There's a phase that you go through where you're crawling in your things of God. Then he requires you to stand up. And you can't crawl around anymore, even sometimes you may still want to. And sometimes when you feel challenged, you might want to get back down in that position and crawl around again. And God's like, no, the position that you're in now, this is no longer accepted. Imagine you walk in trying to get yourself a drive a car, or try to get yourself a job in any store, and you come crawling into the store. You're not even being interviewed. They're probably gonna have you locked up somewhere because they think you're crazy, right? No, come on, tell the truth, right? Seeing a baby do that? Absolutely one. Look at that. Wow, so cute. A grown up, not so cute. It's not so cute, okay? It's a problem. So in the realm of the spirit, there are things that are no longer acceptable. They're no longer cute. They're no longer anything that anybody looks at and gonna go, ah. There are phases that you're stepping into in this series of your life that you want the same understanding that you got from God when you were in a baby phase. And God is like, no, it's not cute now. I'm expecting you to be here. Come on, who's with me today? That's not cute anymore. You don't get the awe anymore. You don't get the pat on the back anymore. You don't get, if you go to your grandparents right now and scribble on a piece of paper with little circles and lines and say, hey, look what I did. They're gonna look at you like, okay, and put it on the refrigerator. If you don't get yourself away from me with this stupidness, like, what the heck is wrong with you? What, you think you're a child again? It's not cute anymore. It's not. And so what God has been saying to me is, there are things that I accepted from you that you still want me to accept, that I need you to understand that I'm not going to accept. I don't think it's cute anymore. You're not going to get claps. You're not going to get rewarded for the stuff that I've expected you to graduate from. Is that scriptural? Yes. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. There's another scripture that says, those who are engaged in war do not involve themselves in civilian affairs. Like if you're a soldier and you're a warrior, you don't have time to be playing around with civilian affairs and the things that people are concerned about. Well, you know, I'm going to eat and I did this and they didn't respect me right and they cut me off in the lane and all that stuff. It's like, no, 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 no. You can't focus on that right now. Everything you're doing is about preserving your life and the life of those around you. You with me? So I start saying, okay, I understand that, but give me vigilance, give me insight, give me the view of that I need to see beyond, yeah, amen, hallelujah. Oh, that's a good word. Whew. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Okay, but now it's time to do that, right? Now it's time to practice that. And for each of us in each phase of our life, it's different. There's a new place that God is calling you to where crawling is not accepted. There's a new place that God's called you to where responding that way or thinking that way or acting that way or dealing with it that way is not accepted. It's another level. So I say, okay, God, so where am I? And I always ask about me. I don't ask about other people. And I never pray for messages to come so I can correct your, you know, I've been in churches where pastors would get up on the pulpit and he just, and I got some things that I need to say about some of y'all up in here. Okay. As long as you know me, you ain't never seen me do that mess. I get up there and tell on myself, right? Where God is dealing with me. So I said, okay, God. And I've had people come to me at the end of the message and say, was that about me? I'm like, and well, I don't know nothing about you and your life. I don't know what's going on in your house. I'm, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even concerned. No, I'm really trying to work out my salvation in trembling and fear. I'm trying to make sure I walk this walk right. Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah, I'm trying to do this thing right myself. So I said, okay, so what are you saying to me? And he said, it's a thing that you may be comfortable with in this season that I'm not comfortable with. I'm not accepting it anymore. It's not going to be taped to the refrigerator. There's something that I need from you right now that's bigger than what used to be okay. So now let me talk about Nelly for a minute. So me and her had our prayer time this morning. I was saying, well, Nelly, how do you feel about being at the farmer's market? Because I felt so uncomfortable that I kept leaving. I, you know, got her set up and everything, and I just kept walking. I walked down the block. I went and sat on a park bench. And it was hot, son. I mean, I put on jeans yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking. My I felt like my legs was in a furnace, right? Everything, and all things in that area, if you get my point, right? And I was like, what the heck did I put on jeans for? I'm in Florida, right? And but I kept walking away, not because, watch this, I felt bad or I didn't. The environment and the people there, beautiful people, but the environment is of people who have found, listen close to what I'm about to say, found their niche in their corner. And they're happy there. They're going to come out there every week, stay with me, and they're going to set their table and they're going to do their thing. And you know, how much did you? Oh, we did pretty good today. $400. $400. Ah, yes. And I'm going, the stuff Nelly liked to cook and all that Whole Foods stuff and all that, that's just groceries. You know what I'm saying? That's in my world of finance, that's not cool. Now I'm sure they got a job all week And then they come there on the weekend and they set up. And I was like, okay, I'm not liking the environment. I'm not liking what it feels like because you guys heard me say this, frequency. I'm functioning in a different frequency right now. Nothing wrong with their frequency. It just didn't feel good for me. So then my concern was, did it feel good for Nelly? Were you comfortable there? She said, no, I don't. I'm there because I need to be right now, but I don't really like being there. Okay. Listen to me close. What processes or processes are you listening to me? Are you doing on the regular to generate your next level of income and finance to your life? Well, I'm getting up every day and I'm working hard at yeah. What are you doing to generate the next level? Who's listening to me? Of income and finance in your life. What this may sound a little like vision builders, but it all comes together. To me, they vision builders, and this is starting to become almost one, right? Listen, what can you point to throughout today that you're doing? Stay with me to generate the next level of finances. Well, we're trying to get the post. I mean, yeah. That's not next level. That's this level. Come on, you with you, Edwards, you feeling me, right? What are we doing to generate the next level? Okay, so vision builders, we're doing books, we're getting ready to do seminars, we're doing it. And I was on this woman's live this morning and she was trying to sell this course for $100. And I was listening to her. And I was listening to her where she was financially. I could see where she is financially. I mean, I could see it, but she's like, I can leave your job. Look, I was on today and I made $400 today. I could do that every day. And I'm like, that ain't bad. That ain't bad at all. I'm gonna pay $100 for her course. I don't know if it's bull or not, but I'm at that place where if it generates the next level of something where we can make $400 a day. I mean, me and you guys, and I can get on here and say, okay, guys, guess what? I found this little chick here, this little TikTok thingy that's making some money. I'm sure each one of us would be very happy with extra $100 a day, right? Now, let me go to where I'm going with this, because it's not about the money for me. This is not this message. This message is about in my spiritual walk and in my spiritual growth. Am I comfortable in the circle or am I doing things to build myself up to receive in the next level spiritually? Am I doing something regularly? I don't want to say every day to put that pressure on you, but regularly to increase the depth of my walk spiritually, to understand the covenant and protection of my father and his provision and his requirement of me daily. Are you listening to me? Oh no, I pray every day and I fast every day. I did not ask you if you pray every day. I don't care if you fast every 5 minutes. My question is, what are you doing? Not maintaining, listen to me, not maintaining, but to go to the next level of your spiritual walk. To increase your spiritual income. Okay. So I started praying. Okay, God, I said, I sense something in this season that's different. And I'm gonna talk a little bit. I'm gonna read my verses, but I'm gonna talk a little bit. Are you good with what I'm doing so far? If you are, give me a thumbs up or something. Like, let me know we are on the same page. I said, okay, God, what is the next level? What is it? He said, well, just look around you in the realm of the spirit and pay attention to what you're seeing and feeling. And here's what I start to realize. What we've been studying in the past couple of weeks, Matthew chapter 6, behold the birds of the air, they toil not, neither do they spin. And I talked about this last week. Well, God, I'm in conflict because it sounds like you're saying don't work. And I know you're not saying just be home and just be a bum and don't work. I know that's not what you're saying, right? But then I get the sense that you're saying, but don't depend on work, depend on me. So it's a different kind of work you're looking for from me. The hand of the diligent tend to plenty. How many of you believe you're hard workers? I work hard. When I do it, I get it in. Let me see your hand. Like, no, I don't play. When I work, I commit. And that commitment has established you a level. That work ethic has established you a level. Amen, correct? He said, okay, do you think I mean the hand of the diligent laborer? And I went, oh, yeah, my whole life, that's what I thought that meant, the hard working. He said, no. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Ain't that the scripture? So he said, when I'm talking about the hand of the diligent, I'm not talking about the diligent laborer. I'm talking about the diligent seeker. I'm telling you that there's more than one way for you. You like that, huh, Minister Edwards? He said, there's more ways for me to bring blessing to you than the dumb ways that you've accepted as the way I move. There's more avenues. I got ways to bring things to you that you can't even imagine. I got doors I can open. You done stuck me that I can't do nothing for you except for that job and the paycheck. And if they give you a raise, and maybe I'll find another job just like this that pays a little bit more. And I'm just gonna put in some on your shoulder, boy, so I can get me a little raise. And God said, there's so many ways, so many avenues. Are you listening to me today that I can bring a blessing to you that you have not diligently sought me about? Wow. So I said, God, I know you're right, because when I would look for something on eBay, right, I've learned all the ways to get around and find things and get the best price and beat the auction and all this kind of. I learned ways where I got things, guitars and stuff that I knew would cost me $2,000-$3,000, but I figured out how to get in and when exactly to put my bid in and all that stuff, so I get it at almost the price they listed it at. I learned it, and I would set my alarm to wake me up, come on y'all, at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, because I know that's the time the auction gonna close. And I know ain't nobody gonna be up this time in the morning putting no bids in. And I'm gonna get in there, and I'm just gonna put $10, $20 over what's up there right now. And God said, you see, you woke up in the morning, you set the alarm to get up there to be ready. And then I found this thing, this automated bidding thing, that you could put it in there and tell it what the max number of bids you want to put in there. And so if somebody puts that automatic and they keep going till it gets to your top bid. And I was like, okay, but still the top bid got to be low, because if you keep going, they're going to keep going. You got to step out and let them think they winning. And then at the last second, bam, just hit them like that. Okay, I'm telling you all this for a reason. God said, so you found a way in that system to win. You found a way in that system to prosper. Not just getting on there and putting bets, you're putting your auction up to your bid and hoping you win. You learned your way around the system. You found, these people get on TikTok all the time, say, hey, the algorithm's doing this. Here's how you do that. Here's how you win it. You know what these people do? TikTok is their Bible. They sit up there. People that do TikTok like us ain't winning like them. There's people out there, they trying to figure out every bit of the algorithm. They got news flashes coming up to let them know what the new movement is. They're not just posting videos. They're living their life to decipher and pick that thing apart to know where the money is and all the avenues that the money can come from. And I shared with you guys on Vision Builders, they got about five or six different ways. You don't have to sell stuff. They got ways that if you post this kind of video, you get paid. If you share your lives, they get paid. Encourage people to do that. They got all these different avenues to make money. I'm going, wow. And God said, but there's so many more ways to walk in my blessings and to receive from me than I prayed, I made a confession, I read the scripture once this week, and then I just sat there and I'm waiting, and 5 years, 6 years go by, I'm in the same place, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And the Lord's like, no, 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 no. The system's in place. You're not sitting before me diligently finding out in the realm of the spirit how I work. I talked a lot. I didn't plan to go this far. But here's what I want to say. And then I'm going to read my verses. What was on me is God is saying to me, to my heart, I'm going to do and want to do so much more for you if you would let me do it. So are you saying you don't want me to do anything? He said, here's what I'm saying to you. Think about all the things, some of you are going to be blessed by this, that you prospered in and you won in. Okay? How many of those did you fast and pray and stand for? Wow. The houses that I fasted, praised, and stood for, I didn't get any of those. The one that you just gave to me and showed to me out of nowhere is the one I got. Moving to this place, I wasn't even looking for it. You just showed it to me. You said to me, when you move in, don't go by and looking for furniture. I'm going to do the same thing for you before that I did before. Somebody's just going to call you up and need to get rid of furniture. And literally 2 days it happened. But I'm realizing the stuff that I really, really went in for is not the stuff that worked. It's the stuff that I just submitted to God. I went about doing my thing, and he said, yeah, but I'm not doing it. Nothing like what you're thinking. I'm going to come to the side door. Now, how many of you have had this experience? God, I know I'm not the only one. You praying for God and believing he's going to bless you one way, and the way he show up and have nothing to do with what you was expecting. Anybody other than me? You understand that, right? That, oh, wow. And it was better than what you was thinking, right? God said, why can't I get you to practice that? That I believe, I trust, I do what I know, I rebuke anxiety and frustration in my will and my way, and I just kind of sit back and let you do what you do. So the diligence you require of me is to know you better, to understand you better, to get a broader understanding of how you move and what you do. So I'm gonna say this from this perspective. I am believing God right now to teach me him in a way that I never knew him before, because I've come to the realization that I really don't know him at all. And that's fine. All I need to know is Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's all I need to know. I need to know he died for my sin. He rose on the third day. And he sits on the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. That's all I really need to know. All this other stuff that I've become so comfortable in, the way God is going to move, how, what door he's going to open. God, you're going to open the door and it's going to come like this. It's going to come like this. He said, or you could be walking down the street and I have somebody walk up to you and say, the Lord spoke to me and told me that you need to be here. Come, I got everything you need. Nah, I don't know if it's realistic. You don't think that's realistic? Didn't Jesus say there's a man who got a banquet and the table and stuff already set out for me? Just go walking down the road. And as you walk down the road, you'll see a man untying the donkey. And when you see the man doing that, you walk up to the man and say, the Lord have need of this, remember? And you'll see a man with a pitcher of water and you follow that man. He's already got the place set up for me. I didn't see Jesus do no networking. I didn't see Jesus post no nothing on Facebook saying, I'm looking for a place to have my last supper. Anybody, willing to set up a place for me, right? So my point is, right, he and his walk with God was, oh, God already spoke to the man. Listen to me close. God already spoke to the man, the woman, the people, the connections, the relationships, the things that didn't need to be in place for your next level. And now I'm needing you to get to the place spiritually and maturely with me so that I can walk you to those places. Well, if you're not mature, you say, I ain't walking to the man with the donkey talking about give me that God needed. You I don't think you're really getting that because you're thinking of a donkey. Now, somebody come ask me for my donkey, they can have it, right? Okay, this is your Maybach. This is your Maserati. This is your vehicle. This is your transportation. If somebody walk up to you in your driveway and say, the Lord have need of it, you just turn it over the keys? All right. I just need you to get a real picture. So they had to really say, I'm going to walk up to this man and ask him for his car because the Lord said he needed it. And he just going to give it to me. I'm sure as they was walking back, they was like, yo, he just gave, yo, he just turned the keys. Yo, it's crazy, right? So what's that requirement? Walk down the road. So they had a part to do, walk down the road. They didn't walk down the road, they ain't going to find the man. If you walk down the road, you're going to find a man with a pitcher of water. Walk up to that man and he's going to show you where we're going to eat. That happens. There's a level of this walk. I'll speak for myself that I haven't even begun to touch. There's a level of trusting God that I have not even begun to enter into. There's a level of the move of God that I haven't even begun to imagine is a reality. I'm going to do it. You just do what I say. And when you do what I say, the manifestation is going to be right there. Say it with me. I'm going to do what he says. And I'm going to expect him to show up or have the people already in place with the manifestation I'm expecting and above. It's a different level, isn't it? God, provide for me beyond my present expectation. Provide for me with wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge beyond what I've decided what wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God is. Like, obviously, I'm totally not getting, and trust me, I've heard God and seen God do things, and I go, wow, and all you guys go, wow, wow. And God is like saying to me, but that, bro, that's nothing. It's nothing. Nothing. You're not even scratching the surface, son. I'm happy for your little drawing and your scribbles on the refrigerator, but those are not cool anymore. I'm expecting something better from you than scribbles on a piece of paper and asking me to applaud you for them. You see how I tied that in? You see what I did there? You see how I worked that out? So, I want you to go with me. Ooh, God, that was a long intro. I want you to go with me to Psalm 91. And I'm taking off my glasses because I don't want to mess up nothing here. And I want you to now, even though you maybe read this before, I want you to take a journey with me. You're listening to me? It's going to require your attention. I want you to take a journey with me. I want you to, as we read this, I want you to walk with me in the realm of the spirit. Not just hear me minister a word and get happy and whoo, you preached that. That was a good one. Whew. No, I want you to be transformed by this. I want you to be transitioned by this. I want you to walk with me through the Holy Spirit into a whole new revelation here of what we got. Can we do that? Are you willing to do that? Who's with me on this? Say, Lord, my spirit is ready to see what I've never seen, to hear what I've never heard, and to understand you in a way that I never have. Lord, introduce me to the you that you've been waiting for me to meet. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? Verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. He who dwells in the shelter or the secret place of the Most High shall remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. He who dwells in the secret place, in the shelter. He who dwells in the shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. If you want to get in the chat, I want you to tell me what word stuck out for you. What word hit you? What word am I about to beat into the ground? What is the word I'm looking for right now? The word is dwells. What does it mean to dwell? To dwells, to live. All right. Get ready for an ouch. You're about to get a little ouchy. Get ready. We don't dwell. We visit. We don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We visit. In our prayer time, in our fasting time, in our whatever we do time, in our making requests and begging for help time, we stop by and visit God like he's in an old folks home, and we got to show up and check on him, see how he's doing, so he don't leave us out the will. Let's just keep it 1,000. We could do that sometime. And he said, no, I need you to live with me. Ooh. Okay. I have no idea how to do that. Well, this is the next level I'm pulling you toward. This is the next level I'm demanding of you. You can challenge Nelly and say to Nelly, well, Nelly, are you on this level? And God said to me, yeah, but are you on this level? No. Okay, so both of you got some leveling up to do. Absolutely. Okay. I need you to live, to dwell. I need it to be your home. I need it to be the place that at the end of every day, that's where you come. How do I do that? Now, I'm going to answer your question. That's personal. But I would say you definitely would check in on every step of your way and every action you take and every decision you make and everything you decide to do. You would check in. How does this look in your house? Nope, I don't. We're not putting that on the refrigerator. We're not hanging that on the wall. That don't belong in this house. Because you start to evaluate, listen close, what belongs in your house, what belongs in your conversation, what kind of friends you have to have, what kind of people you need to be talking to. Not that they're bad, good, or evil, but their conversation don't align with the conversation of the level of the house that God has called you to. This is important. So I was at the skating ring one time, what, a little while back, and I think I shared this before, and we were talking and joking and making jokes, and I was saying things, and it was me being earthy. I wasn't being vulgar. But I was saying things. And Nellie didn't say anything. She stood there like the sweetheart she is. And she waited till I was done. And as we got in the car, she said, you know, you need to watch the things you say. And I said, no, I didn't say anything like, you know, that was she said. But what if somebody was there with a phone recording what you were just saying? And they played that back. Do you think that matches the image that? And I was like, okay, yeah. Some real nasty stuff could be done with that. Correction accepted. So now when I'm standing around the guys, if they want to start going down a certain road in conversation and joking in a certain way, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to step on over here and let you do that because now I'm aware. So God starts saying to me, there's a level that I've called you to now that you can't involve yourself in situations and circumstances with things that are counterproductive to what I'm calling you to. You have to live in me. You have to literally, in the middle of the day, if you need to, run into the shelter. You need to not try to do it yourself and then come back to me when it ain't working. Somebody could say amen to that. You can act like you don't want to, but you know what I'm telling is the truth, right? That I need you to be able to say, you know, give me a minute. Give me a minute. And you need to run into the shelter. because there's you live here. You don't come here when you need something. You live here. This is your home. You live here. You, I know I stay forever on this one verse, but God said to me, you got to make sure that you understand this, is what he was saying to me. So now I got to make sure you understand it. I need you to live here. So I said, Lord, teach me to live here. I need some help with that one. And I humbly accept the correction. I need to learn to live here. Who bears witness with that? I got to live here. He says, you remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So now this is one way we can start to determine that we're not living there, because we don't feel secure and we're not at rest. So that, right, I'm just giving you some telltale signs. You're not at rest. You don't feel secure. You're not living there. You're outside too much. Come on in. He said, whose power no foe can withstand. Well, you know, sometimes the enemy knows, sometimes the enemy, because you're outside too much. You inside like you're supposed to be, no enemy. No enemy. God, you want me to go there? I'll go there. Okay, sure. I'll go there. Thank you, Lord. God spoke to Nelly a little over a month ago. And I'm praying and praying and praying about God. I don't know why. I'm doing everything. I'm trying to eat right, not losing the weight. I feel like I, you know, what's going on here? You know, so I kept saying, I need a cleanse. I need a cleanse. I need to get a cleanse. I need to do a cleanse. I'm looking up cleanses online. I'm looking, searching for cleanses. Let's try. Look at this cleanse. Look at that cleanse. Everybody's saying their cleanse will blow your whole system out and it'll be nothing through there running through you but lemons and olive oil and you'll be squeaky clean. Like, okay. Everybody is saying, yeah, in 3 days, your whole insides will flip upside down. Not trusting any of it. But I'm looking at them all, ChatGPT and looking. Nelly's praying. She comes back and says, God says we need to incorporate the alkaline lifestyle into our lives. Okay, this is this battery thing that Kwame been talking about for years. Let me go, what is this thing now? So I need some real answers. So now I'm going to go online. I'm going to look up stuff. So I'm looking it up and, you know, different people got different perspectives. You know, you got Sabaites, you know, they worship Sabi. And then you got, you know, I forgot the other guy's name. Oh, no, he's the one. And everybody's, you know, they kind of like almost got little cult followings. Of course, I'm not a lamb other than to the Lord. And I'm nobody's sheep. So I've said, listen, God, what are you saying? He said, I told you to incorporate. I didn't tell you to lose your mind. Your diet's going to be predominantly this. And we looked it up, Nelly looked it up, and we got it. We started doing it. I didn't expect to lose weight. That wasn't even my thought. I thought I would be healthier. But I still need a cleanse. Nelly has come down tremendously. Like, and she, to me, she really didn't need to, but she did. She's like looking like what she looked like when I first met her. I watched the weight fall off of me. And I said, why is the weight falling off of me like this? And it hit me. You ready? This is not me to talk about my weight loss. Let's talk about the principles of God. Change. It took a month for me to realize that I was eating no bread, no potatoes, no pasta. I didn't even miss them. I was eating the food that we were eating, like eating chickpeas. We eat chickpeas almost all the time. And I was like, you know, God, chickpeas every minute. He said he would eat eggs every day. You didn't have a problem eating eggs every day. You shouldn't have a problem eating chickpeas every day. Yes, sir. Cook them different. Make them work for you. But these are the foods you eat. We've been doing it. It wasn't just the weight. It was the mind fog that left. It was the grogginess that left. It's a lot of things that changed. Just because not only did I allow myself to be introduced to something different, I looked into it before the Lord to find out what it is I'm doing here. When you're walking with the Lord, I can read scripture to you every Sunday. You can hear me talk this word every week. I've heard Kwame talking about the alkaline diet for years. Meant nothing to me. It worked for him. Me and Nelly even talked about it. Well, he lost weight. It looks good on him. It works for him. But I don't know nothing about it, and I ain't thinking about it. But God then said, do it to Nelly. And when he said it, I was like, well, okay. There's always a level above what you know. There's always an understanding deeper than what you've grasped. And if you got to the place with your walk in the Lord, that it's the same old walk that you've been walking for the past 20 years, then you're getting the same results that you've been getting for the past 20 years. Somebody please hear me out. It's deeper. You abide by him according to the understanding that he gives you, not the understanding that you've accepted. Is that clear enough? That means everything you think you understand today is baby steps. Everything you've accomplished so far is children's walk. Everything you think you know, you don't know squat. You're just a baby beginning. And every day you're looking to get better at, watch this, not being, reading more scripture and fasting more times and praying in tongues longer, pushing in and saying, God, where is the intimacy in our relationship? Am I growing closer to you? You can ask him that right now if you want to. Am I growing closer to you? Not the rules and rituals. Am I building a relationship with you? Because I can do all this stuff religiously and still not get closer to you. The letter killeth, the spirit gives life. So I need to understand that I don't understand what I think I understand. I need to understand that I don't understand what I think I understand. We all see through a glass darkly. We don't know. We know in part. We prophesy in part. I don't know. I know that this walk that I'm on right now is not the walk I need to be on for what you're calling me to. Let me say this one more time. I know that the walk I'm on right now is not the right walk I need to be on for what you're calling me to. It's been fine for where I've been, but it's not where I need to be for what you're calling me to. When I see vision builders, I don't see an opportunity for me to make more money and us to make more money so we could buy some stuff that we couldn't buy before. I'm like, this is a call to the world to change lives in the millions. The tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands, the millions. Are you with me? And because of that, stay with me. And because of that, I need to be different in my thinking. I need to be different in my expectation. Who's with me on this? I need to be different on my knowing. I need to know God. I need to know a God that I don't even know. It's challenging, yes, but it's necessarily challenging. I need to be something better, something else, something more powerful. I need the anointing of God to radiate out of me. I need to be walking down the street like Peter and just the presence of God on me is touching people and they're getting healed or feeling something or their life is being changed. I want to be in that place where people saying, you know, earthly people saying, it's just an aura around you. I've heard people say that about great people all the time. What's his name? Great basketball player. Iverson. Iverson. Great and successful in his own right, said, when I saw Jordan for the first time, there was a glow around him. He said, you can call me crazy if you want, but there was a glow around him. And I said, I know what he means. He saw the anointing on this man in spirit for the gift that he had. Something about him. People said it about Prince. People said it about Michael Jackson. I've heard people say stuff like that. Haven't you? Is it just me? That's how the world relates to it. It's just a glow. Eddie, it's not Eddie Murphy. Charlie Murphy said it was over Rick James. He said, it's a glow around him. So listen, the bottom line is that glow is real. It's the anointing. It's what was on Peter, where he said, the shadow of him passing, people got healed. They called it the shadow. It's a glow. It's an anointing. It's a level. People have said to me, no, there's something on you. Like when you walked in the room, you can feel something that fills up the room. And I'm like, well, I want to know more of that. I need to know more of that God. Like, then you need to push in closer. You need to dwell better than you've been dwelling. You need to be a little closer to me than just getting by with the tools you got so far. You need to empty your tool bag and come in and let's restock it, because I need you to move from being the plumber to being the roofer, or being the framer, or being the whatever I need you to be in the realm of the spirit. But you're not going to get that still functioning with the same tools that you've been functioning with and being so proud of yourself and wanting everybody to pat you on the back because of whatever little thing. God, that's not what this is about. This is another level. This is another level. So I'm going to bring it home with this verse. Let me read the first one again. He who dwells, we beat that in the ground, in the shelter of the Most High, will remain secure. You remain secure, not secure sometime. You remain. This message is for me. I'm just letting you know. I'm not preaching at y'all. This is what's being preached to me. Like I said, I get it. I share it. You will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no enemy can withstand. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust with great confidence, and on whom I rely. We'll pick it up after this next week. But here's what he's saying. If you dwell in him, because people say, well, I would say of the Lord, he is my refuge. No. If you dwell, see, there's the condition. If you dwell, you can say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress and my God, whom I trust. Why? Because I live there. Because I stay there. Because I push to know what that next level is beyond what I know today. We know God slightly. Oh, I'm speaking for myself. I know God slightly. I'm like, there's so much more I need to get here, God. Like, after reading this and really seeing what you show me here today, it's like, okay, I'm blessed. But I know I'm not what you call me to be. I know I'm not even in the natural near what you call me to be. Who bears witness with that? I know I'm not like even in the room yet of what I know you've called me to be. I may have gotten on the road and I'm grateful. I'm happy about hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank God I'm not what I'm going to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. But you stuck on what you not used to be, but instead of focusing on the fact that you're not what you're going to be either. Let's lock that in. You like to brag that I'm not what I used to be, but are you what you're supposed to going to be? Are you what you're going to be? Okay, well, I had to come to the realization I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I have not reached a place yet, and I came to the realization that I'm not getting there with the tools of yesterday. I ain't gonna say with the present tools, I've already started dumping out my tool bag. So I'm not going to say my present tools. My present tools been dumped. I'm already like, okay, fill this bag. Let's get this new lessons underway. So God said to me, join this woman's class. You know, find out what she's talking. I was on the AI class all this week, listening to the AI people talk about the AI stuff. I'm a little bit of this, little bit of that. I'm doing the Shonda Rhimes thing. Say yes to everything. Just whatever that, you don't know that story? Shonda Rhimes said she was struggling. She was poor. She was trying to figure out what she was going to do. And she prayed and she got this revelation from God. Every opportunity that comes your way, that's, you know, legal and honest, say yes to it. Just say yes. Give it a shot. Say yes. So she said, she started saying yes. And she was spending money. She didn't really have to spend, but she took this course and she took this class and she did this thing and she did that. And it all led her to writing these books. She wasn't a novelist. She was, what was she, a realtor or something? I'm trying to remember what she was, but whatever, look it up. Look it up real quick. Whatever she wasn't a novelist. She wasn't writing books. But through the course of saying, she went to, it was a year of yes. That's what she called it. God told her to say yes to every opportunity and everything that came her way that was legal. And it wasn't necessarily investments and stuff, but classes, courses, whatever, whatever came down her pipe. And God said to me, say yes to this. Sign up for this. Paid to sign up for the Tony Robbins 3-day class. I just signed up for this woman's thing. I know she ain't got money like mine. But I signed up for it. Yes, sure. It's $100. We go out to eat sometime. It costs that much here in Florida, just for me and Nelly, you know? So say yes. So I signed up for it. Supposed to get on her with the day. She's going to help me set up my shops and my whatever. And you know, I said, good. I'm going to take it to another level. Then I'm going to be able to show her what I did and help her go to another level. And then I'm going to get her hand. I'm going to show all you guys what I did and help you guys go to another level. But I'm saying yes to opportunity to be better with God, the opportunity to trust God beyond what I'm already comfortable with. Come on, somebody. The opportunity to believe God to be God, because I feel like I've been limiting God from being God. He's been my God. Now, listen close. He's been my God for a long time. But my God is on my level in the way I expect my God to move. Am I lying on anybody in here? You know, we got our relationship with God. We expect God to move. Oh, you know, we know God gonna make a way. What way? The same way you always want him to make it? What about another way? What about a way that you might not even like that he's making and you don't like it at all? But when it's done, it's like, ooh, that way. I never saw that coming. But that way. This is the season. We're going to pick this up next week, but this is the season. Work this week on your dwelling. Work this week on how you're dwelling. Go before God and make sure you're dwelling. Amen. May the word you heard be bring. I want to put the emphasis on bring. May the words that you heard bring God's blessings to you. Amen.